from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm content for sure. You know, obviously I wanted more guarantees in the contract just because I feel like I've earned it. But, you know, you can't always get what you wish for all the time. But it's definitely noted, you know, if I have to go earn it, that's what I'll do. It's been nothing but success here in terms of what I've been able to do on the field. You know, I look to get better each and every year while I'm here. I'm really the type of guy that, you know, takes heed to old sayings. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm not really trying to go somewhere else. You never know. You know, the grass isn't always green on the other side. So, you know, I would rather stay where I'm thriving.
Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper just moments ago at the Greenbrier in West Virginia as the Browns wrapped up training camp practice for the day. And Chris, both your and my ear shot up when he said that he was hoping, didn't really quite get everything he wanted, and including incentives, but that, you know, you don't get everything you want. I thought that was kind of the customarily honest response that we get typically from Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Agreed. And not everybody is going to be that candid.
Yeah.
But I think it gives you an idea of where his mind is coming into this season and the things that he's going to want as soon as this contract is up. And there's obviously, when it comes to the Browns, there's obviously risk and a danger in him going out and having a monster season and all of a sudden performing in a way that is outside of their price range.
Kevin Stefanski is going to speak to the media. Right now, Denzel Ward's speaking. We're not going to carry that live. We got an update here. I think what's interesting is any decision you made with Amari was going to come with risk. And if you pay beyond this year, instead of a restructure, if you give him 3 years and $27 million on top of what he's already making, there's risk given his age and given that you are going into a new system. But you are right. I mean, there is significant risk that if he goes out there and let's say he even does better than his customary 1,200-yard season,
right,
that you could be looking at, you know, top dollar. His free agency is going to probably be the most interesting case of wide receivers because wideouts always get paid.
That's right.
But he's 30. Well, okay, but he's coming off a great year. Well, but he's not maybe a true number one wide receiver. And I think he will hit the open market. Even if he ends up coming back to Cleveland, I would be shocked if he get through this year and he signs something in like February.
Mm-hmm.
But contractually, with the way they lined up money, if he hits free agency, his contract voids because of voidable years. So it feels like either my interpretation, he either re-signs probably in February or he hits free agency, and then you're very unlikely to bring him back.
Well, the other thing that he has sort of ish on his side is that if you think about free agency next off season, obviously that's a long way away, but some of the guys that are in that same category as him with the age, with the questions, with the yeah buts, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, they're the same questions that those other teams are asking about those particular guys. Like the only young, high-profile free agent is who? T. Higgins?
Yeah.
So, and if you talk about production, you know, Amari has that over T, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, because he's been the number one target.
Yeah, he's been the number one target.
He
has shown that he can be the number one target. So that's one variable that you eliminate.
Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper there just moments ago at the Greenbrier in West Virginia talking about his contractual situation. His first comments publicly since agreeing to a restructured contract with the Cleveland Browns for the 2024 season, but not a true extension. We do have the Guardians' latest loss to react to at some point in this hour as well. We have Kevin Stefanski, who's going to come up to the podium at some point in the very near future. But you guys can follow all the news surrounding training camp and the baseball trade deadline on 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator right now to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I actually think the Browns are in the right. Like, I agree with you that I think there is a risk at play here, but I think the Browns chose the appropriate risk because I don't think they didn't extend Amari because of age.
I'd love to know, too, Nick, who it was that gave him the impression that he was going to get the extension. And is that going to be a problem between the two sides moving forward?
I think that's a very fair question. I think in all of Amari's answer, you mm-hmm. can tell that he was thinking he was going to get more,
yeah,
hoping for more. And I think if that's his agent, well, then that's the agent not doing his right job. If he was giving any indication, I mean, I just look at it like, I thought right down the line,
mm-hmm.
you got a guy guaranteed money, and he had said it's not about the money, it's about the guaranteed, which by the way, that is guaranteed money, just so Amari knows.
Mm-hmm.
But you gave him more guarantees for this year, some security, and you didn't commit any more money for him because mm-hmm. I think this is a pivotal year for Amari, and it's not because he's turning 30. It's because it's an offense he hasn't played in before. He's primarily been a West Coast receiver. And while I think we all agree that he's so good, there's a very good chance that he comes out here and has another fine season. Until you see that player in that context this late in his career, you would be taking a massive risk if you had thrown 3 years, $90 million towards him to keep him before doing that.
And I totally get that. I just think, you know, the other risk involved for the Browns is that they don't have anybody in line to replace Amari.
Yet.
And okay, so who's the yet?
Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. I don't necessarily think this dude will do it, but Elijah Moore, Jamari Thrash.
Do you think that the Browns see Jerry Jeudy as the eventual Cooper replacement?
No, I think they might think more of Cedric Tillman in that way.
Okay.
But if we just talk about, like, skill set, but do I think they traded for Jerry given the hope that he could be a number one receiver? Yes.
Oof.
I'm not sure they're panning on that, but is that the hedged bet? Of course.
Right. So the danger in that is that, you know, if he can't become that guy,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel like you have anybody else inside this organization that could step into that.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about some of the financial limitations that they have and that they are going to have. So you can't go out and get Amari Cooper type of wide receiver in free agency, right? Those guys are going to get more money than what the Browns are going to be able to give in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the draft thing?
Maybe not Andrew Berry's strong suit. Is that what you're going to say?
Probably not. Probably not.
So here's the thing, though. I think, yes, as of right now today.
So while you have one, maybe you want to think about locking that guy up as long as he fits your contention window?
I think you're thinking of Amari like a one. And I think of Amari much more as a 1.5.
I think
1.
He's a
5.
One and a half.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he's a 1.5.
So those are the guys that I think are the most risk to pay. Because there's always, like, Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. elite speed.
Yeah.
You go to just below elite speed, you're still probably
okay.
And then
okay. there's a drop-off.
Yeah. Well, but if you get below, yeah. just below, yeah. like, you could really shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Like, with Amari, when it comes to fit and you're already not maybe elite in those two ways to get you paid. The two ways to get you paid to be an elite receiver
mm-hmm.
are you are an elite physical receiver, the Calvin Johnsons,
yeah.
with enough speed, or you're an elite speed. Neither one of those things is Amari.
Well, there's the other side of this, though. Because he's not overly reliant on those kinds of things to be the wide receiver that he's been to this point in his career, you may not have the same kind of drop-off that you would for a guy who is overly reliant on athleticism, overly reliant on ability to separate. Elite speed, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to call the plays this year, so I want to get that out of the way. I know everybody's interested. And any decision I make for our football team, I take a lot of information in. I try to listen to a lot of people and make decisions. And ultimately, what I feel really, really confident in is our offensive staff. I feel really strongly about Coach Dorsey and the entire offensive staff. So we'll continue to be an operation that works together. It's never been a one-man show.
I'm so confident in everybody on this offensive staff that I'm going to keep calling plays. They do such a good job.
Oh, stop.
No, I really don't care. Okay, I shouldn't stop. Say. I don't care as much about this as I have in previous years for a very important reason. That's Kevin Stefanski. Not sure if you heard about this. He's the Browns head coach announcing he will call plays. Chris, right off the rip, big deal, little deal, no deal. Kevin's going to call the plays.
I don't think it's a big deal, but I understand why he's doing it. He's an elite play caller. I don't know if he's Sean McVay. I don't know if he's Kyle Shanahan. But
those
are
elite guys.
He is an elite level play. There are levels to elite.
Okay, but... Yes. There are levels to elite. I thought elite in and of itself was a level.
Pat Mahomes is elite. Josh Allen is elite. Josh Allen's not Patrick Mahomes.
I think Mahomes is the only elite in the NFL.
Stop.
Those guys are franchise quarterbacks. They're great quarterbacks.
So he's an elite level play caller who part of the reason why he was hired in the first place is because of what he does on offense, what he does with quarterbacks, and what he does as a play caller. So continue to allow him to do the things that he's great at.
So I actually agree with you that he's a great play caller. I wouldn't say elite, but I think he's a great play caller because Shanahan and McVay are elite. And Mike McDaniel's actually elite, too. They're the same guy. Shanahan and McDaniels, they're the same guy when it comes to calling plays.
He's in that category with those guys.
I think he's in the same neighborhood. I don't know if he's in the same apartment complex.
He's in the same neighborhood, but not the same development.
Yeah, thank you. That's much better. I like that way better.
Great, thanks.
But my thought on it always was, it's not that I know you can do that well. It is you being great at that and the amount of attention it takes from that, does it take away from the CEO part of your job? And I think you have coaches who will come out and say it doesn't. You mentioned Kyle Shanahan. Andy Reid's another one who, hey, literally at any point could just give it up, doesn't want to. He enjoys calling plays, even if now he involves other guys in those decisions. He still does the play calling.
Yeah.
It was more, can we get more out of Kevin in every other phase, the CEO, in-game head coach, those decisions? Can I tell you what changed for me? Because it's not that. I still think that's a valid thing of, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Okay.
That's the phrase of the day.
Yes, I know, but do you need more out of him? He's a great coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think
two-time coach of the year.
Yeah, that's, what are we doing with that?
What do you mean, what are we doing with that? He was able to do last year with Joe Flacco?
That's valid. I'm not doing coach of the year thing. Coach of the Year is all narratives are built on awards. I shouldn't be telling this to an NBA writer who I'm sure has a vote when it matters. I don't care about awards because they are prone to narratives and very rarely do they ever get them right.
Okay.
I'm not saying that he didn't deserve those awards. There are five guys every year that deserves that award. But my measure of Kevin Stefanski is I do think he's a good head coach. I think he's a very good play caller. But there are also moments in games, whether it is individual moments, that there are some game flow stuff that drives me crazy when Kevin is not calling the plays.
Okay.
Or, when you're on offense, like when you're on defense and you're not calling plays, like you have a coordinator to set everything else up.
Yeah.
But when you're calling plays, that does naturally distract you from and take 5 to 10 to 20 seconds away from every other decision.
Yes, I think that's fair. And if it becomes a detriment to the team, if it becomes a detriment to the coach's ability to be a great coach, then sure, I'll be on board with you. But I don't look at Kevin Stefanski and say he's coming up way too short in other areas or he's not doing a good enough job as a head coach, so you need to take the play calling away from him. I think he's a very, very, very good play caller. I think he's a very, very good offensive tactician, because you didn't want me to use elite. Sorry.
Well, no.
I'll just throw a bunch of varies in there. My goodness.
Well, you could have said great. Great is one step below elite.
I just think if you have Picasso, you don't turn him into a musician.
What if
let him do his thing.
What if you just have a guy named Pablo? Well, then he's just a good painter. Just a great painter, but maybe not elite painter.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm really not. I think what's interesting about this, the reason why I thought it was more valid this year, was you are kind of changing the offense. So I think that's something that bears, like, do you have the same feel for an offense that is sculpted very differently or put together very differently with different concepts as you do the Kubiak West Coast offense that you have been ensconced in for most of your career? And that's a question. That's not an I don't. A lot of the things with Kevin, they're just kind of I don't knows, because, listen, he can say he's calling plays. I guarantee you there's going to be some times where he's like, hey, guys, what do you think? You know what I mean? So my biggest questions are about the changes in the offense. And I thought this was a logical point that he could do this. I'll be honest with you, I probably still would rather Kevin call plays than Ken Dorsey.
Well, that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ken Dorsey been the primary play caller?
I believe there were 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, okay, 1.5 years because he got canned halfway through last year. But that first year looked good in Buffalo. Those first 17 games, he showed some real chutzpah. It was last year that maybe he lost his mojo as a play caller.
I guess my point was the resume for Kevin Stefanski as a play caller is significantly different than the one for Ken Dorsey as a play caller. And this really isn't the place where you want to make it a training ground. Let's put it that way.
I mean, Ken's got 5 years. Sorry, Ken. Kevin. Oof. Kevin has 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, Shanahan, I'm pretty sure, has been calling plays out of the womb.
Okay.
Sean McVay has been a head coach and play caller for almost a full decade. Eight, nine seasons.
And in his 5 years, which is all we can judge him on because he hasn't had the opportunity to be a primary play caller elsewhere. So in his 5 years, he hasn't had as much time as Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. In those 5 years, he has been an elite level play caller.
Is this going to be a trigger now? Like,
yes, it is.
Anytime I laugh at Dustin, he gets mad because one time I said he was unintentionally funny. And now the word elite is going to be a bugaboo on the show. Again, I'm kind of Switzerland on it. Like,
Are you serious?
On the word elite?
Oh, I thought you meant on Kevin Stefanski as a play caller.
No, I'm very much in the middle on it. Oh, probably about 7 months ago, I think I was a little more heated about it. But I think my problems, one, it was the CEO duties, which again, that is absolutely what I want my head coach to be, because I'm leery of just everybody trying to be Andy Reid eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can be Andy Reid. Like, McVay has shown you that.
Yeah.
That dude has grown into and maybe started out as a truly great offensive play-calling head coach. The other thing is, my number one thing that needed to come out of this year, they needed a new offense. The Kubiak offense wasn't cutting it. So If Kevin's meeting me halfway already by actually putting an offense on the field that suits Deshaun's skill set instead of trying to fit him into his own,
right?
I can meet him halfway by going, I'd like to see what it looks like, but you know what? In the end, we both win a battle, and maybe together we can win the war.
Well, I think Kevin makes a really, really good point, though, when justifying this decision. He is the best play caller that they have for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't think that's
He's
what he
said. He's the best option.
Well, he said it feels like it's what's best for the team.
I know that. He wasn't going to come out and say that, obviously.
Did he call himself an elite play caller? Big deal, little deal, no deal. Kevin Stefanski.
He probably thinks he is, and rightfully so.
He's got that big play calling energy.
You see these dudes running wide open?
Yeah, that's yep.
You see the creativity offensively? You see the flow? You see the chess that he plays?
Not checkers.
Defensive coordinator? No.
Not checkers.
No, he doesn't play checkers. He's a chess master.
He doesn't even know what checkers are. He's forgotten about it. He went to Penn. What are we talking about here? Big deal, little deal, no deal. Kevin Stefanski saying he's going to call plays again. And is there a difference? Are there tiers within Elite?
Yes, there are.
And
of course there are.
We just heard Elite Kevin Stefanski talk about keeping the play calling.
Yes.
And I will say, Kevin Stefanski jamming people up in press conferences is very funny no matter who it is. But there actually was something that you and I talked about earlier in the show, which was not should Kevin call the plays or not, but it was Deshaun Watson playing in the preseason game. When asked about that, here's what Kevin had to say at the Greenbrier.
We'll see. I mean, that's certainly something that I will talk to our staff about, talk to Deshaun about that. We'll make that decision when appropriate. I thought about it, but I don't have an answer right now.
So I know that you said earlier you're a fan of playing Deshaun in the preseason, and I understand your reasons behind it. Here would be a condition that I would have. And any time you play that dude in the preseason, I'm going to be holding my breath. And if an injury happens, by God, I will call back to this conversation on air about how furious I was and how I told you.
Of course.
I will do I told you so radio. I'm not above it, although I am elite. But you got to go in knowing what you're going to do. Earlier you're like, well, it's kind of on a case-by-case basis. And I understand that that's normally how it would be.
Yeah.
I think you have to go in knowing exactly how much you're willing to risk and how much you're willing to deploy and what you need to get out of Deshaun to make this worth it without succumbing to maybe playing him too much and maybe putting too much of an injury risk out there.
Okay, so what if you go in with a specific plan? What would your plan be? Multiple games, two games, first two games, that's it?
I would actually probably rather be extended
four series.
Play. Yeah, but
six series.
It's probably got to be two games, but okay. Yeah, one of those games needs to be a full half.
Okay, so what if you go in with a plan to do it just for two games and he still isn't looking comfortable, he's not feeling comfortable, he doesn't perform to the level that he would want to or you as a coaching staff would want to see from him. Doesn't seem like he's all that familiar with the new system. What if that's the case?
I would say we've got a game in Dallas coming up in early September that you're going to get every chance to kick off the rust on.
That's not the game to kick off the rust, though. That game has significance. That game has consequence.
They're not in your conference. It's like it has consequence because if you win it, that's one less one you have to get later in the season.
Yeah. But or like, if you lose it,
then you
start
lose a
with
game.
A loss.
Teams that have had a loss never end up making the playoffs.
Right, but we're not talking about every single team being the same going into a season. Right, we're understanding that the Browns are probably going to have to win 10 to get to the playoffs. Right?
And but you're trying to do math ahead of time when you just don't like. Yeah, some years it's 10, some years it's nine.
Every year's different, but if you look at the quality of competition throughout the AFC, I mean, you have to have a general idea of what it will take to be the team that you want to be and be in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. So 9 to 10 wins.
So if you're thinking 9 to 10 wins, and you understand that you're probably going to play half the season without Nick Chubb. In your scenario, Deshaun Watson is using September to kind of shake off the rust, get acclimated to the new system,
Which every quarterback in the NFL is doing, by the way.
Well, yeah, but there's this assumption that you have that, okay, when Nick Chubb comes back or when you hit November, December, that like Deshaun Watson's going to hit this new level and the Browns are going to go on this run.
I don't think I went that far. I said, is it, does it not stand to reason?
That's the assumption that you've built into this.
Does it not stand to reason that if he's healthy, that over time, the more you play together, the healthier you are.
Yeah.
The better you play? Is that not?
Well, yeah, but
it's not as if, and in fairness to what you're saying, is play isn't linear. You're gonna take two steps forward and one step back. But we're talking about in the aggregate. Like, but I expect his best months of the year, because he's coming off an injury, to happen later in the year, because there's so many things that have to get fleshed out, including a brand new offense.
Correct. But what if that level of better is just not good enough based on the competition that they're playing against?
Then it probably wasn't going to be good enough previously.
Or, like, or you could bank.
A very strong or.
Yes.
Or.
Or you could bank early wins. That's what I'm talking about.
You're just putting a lot
against
of emphasis.
Winnable opponents. Yes, because I think there are winnable games early on in September for the Browns.
Well, but if they're already winnable games, and that is, I will agree with you, I think that's the easiest, quote-unquote, part of the schedule.
Yeah, so you bank those wins when you have an opportunity to do that.
But there's nothing you can do. He could play every single preseason game two halves. Uh-huh. That's not how this goes. One half in each one of those preseason games. And he's still not going to knock off every bit of rust, because nothing replicates real live action.
You're right.
So this is like a rounding error. Like, how much are you how much rust or discomfort or confidence are you really going to build in five quarters? Quarters?
It's hard to know for sure. But any amount of rust that he can shake off before the season starts, when the season has consequences, I think gives you a better chance.
But isn't that, so the amount we just threw out there, so two quarters and one series, let's say it's that.
Uh-huh.
He gets all that in the first game, and then he still has a quarter and a half to go.
I guess we'll see, but I don't know if he gets all of that in the first game.
I think you're right, by the way. I think they are going to play him. I think Deshaun's going to want to play. I think they'll use the new offense as justification, and they might even use the shoulder of, well, we just want to get him out there, and you know, it's a different thing to know what it's like to be hit. But there are no controllables. Okay, that's not true. There's only so many controllables when it's an actual game, even if it's something as insipid as a preseason game.
Wow, what a word.
I know.
Do you think that was necessary?
Yeah.
To use that word?
Well, you strong-oared me. And I had to see...
Of all the words?
I had to see your strong-oar. I had to get into my verbal war chest, and I had to pull something out that was, I felt like, an elite-level response.
I just think when... In the context of the conversation that we're having... The time where you need Deshaun Watson, you specifically, Nick, need Deshaun Watson to be playing at his best or improving as the season goes on, that's when the competition theoretically gets the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think you can assume that his better or his improvement is going to get to a level where all of a sudden they're going to go on this run, or they're going to win all these games against this high-level competition. Maybe his better, maybe his more comfortable in the system, maybe his further removed from the shoulder injury is just not good enough still.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.